God of love and power, we know that you are with us and you care, you are for us. Break through into our lives and into our church. Break through our fears and replace them with faith. You are the God who breaks down every barrier, and we trust that your Spirit will break through in us, in our lives, in the life of our church, and in our community. Fill us with the grace, mercy, and power of Jesus. Help us to discern where your Spirit is leading. Open doors that lead us into a new season of faithfulness and fruitfulness for your kingdom. Give us faith and courage to step through the doors that you open. Amen. I want to welcome everyone to Concordia this morning. And personal note to our pianists, thank you, you done good. Some announcements that Pastor Doris wanted me to highlight. First of all, the flowers on the altar are in loving memory of Roxanne Ackla. Tonight, community meal here. I think that's 4 to 6. And save the date. Barbecue and Bunko night at Concordia on Wednesday, February 27th. And let's see, I think next Sunday is the 17th. And that's Gordon Davis's birthday celebration. We are all invited. Calendar for this week, 7 o'clock Monday. It's tomorrow, Finance Committee meeting. Tuesday, 9:30, Clean the Kitchen. 1 p.m., UMW meeting. 7 p.m., Church Council meeting. Boy, that's a busy date. And that's all that was highlighted here. One personal note, another personal note. Thursday night, I will be speaking at the Museum of Badger Army Ammunition, and I will be talking about production at the Badger Army Ammunition Plant. Everybody is invited. Now, if we'll join in the red hymnal, number 394, stand if you are able. Join me. We have come from different backgrounds on various roads to get here.
We are all
here to see and experience. Listen for the promise of God's steadfast love and God's faithfulness.
We are
seeking
for God's call
and honor. We'll join in hymn number 593 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
join me in prayer. Holy God, we gather to sing your praise and hear your word. Speak to us now that we may be wise enough to perceive your call. Strengthen us now that we may be brave enough to answer when you call. Guide us now that we may follow where you would have us go. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Do you want to come down? Nope? Okay. Do I have to? Well, good morning. I'm sure glad you came up, because, and I was hoping that Kayla would come up too, because there's something that I saw the two of you do that I didn't see Odie do. And that wasn't today. That was when I met her and when I met you. The day I met you, I remember that day. There was a whole bunch of kids sitting up around here. And I remember Odie. Now, you were up here as well. Your sister was holding you. Did you? You don't remember that, though, do you? No. And for a long time, while I was here, you wouldn't come up by me. Or if I tried to pick you up, you didn't want me to pick you up. And so I didn't pick you up. You know why? Because from the time that we're born, there's this little voice that's inside of us. There's this intuition. There's this thing inside of us that tells us whether someone is safe or not. Do you ever feel that? That if you're in a crowd of strangers, there might be someone that you would look at and say, boy, that person's safe. And that happens all in your head. It's not something that you think about consciously. But that voice that's in there, I think, is really, really important. And I think it's really important that, like, when little children come up and they don't want me to touch them, or they don't want to sit on my lap or anything like that, it's really important that we listen to that. Because that voice is going to speak to you throughout your whole life. The song that we sang this morning was a song about a little boy, and he heard this voice in the night, and he thought it was the priest talking to him, but it wasn't the priest talking to him, it was God. Okay? And that's the voice inside that I think we want to listen to. Because it keeps us safe, but it also, we can connect with God. For example, have you ever seen someone bullying someone else and you said, your voice inside said, that's not right? Did your voice say that? You've never seen bullying? Have you seen bullying? Okay, does your voice say that they shouldn't be doing that? Okay, have you ever been bullied? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's one of the ways the voice that voice inside talks to us, and it's not a voice like your voice. It's just this small thing inside you that knows what's right and what's wrong, what's safe and what's not. And that's what we're talking about today, is that voice inside of us. We're going to hear the story about Jesus calling the disciples. And we've heard that before. We know that Jesus went to the seashore and said, Simon, Peter, come on, Andrew, come on. And they followed, right? Now, if that was maybe Herod that did it, do you know who Herod was? Herod was a ruler. And he wasn't always real good to the Jewish people. So if Herod was there and said, come on, Peter, come on, John and James, do you think they would have gone? They would have been less likely to, yeah, that's right. Okay, so we listen to that voice, and sometimes that voice tells us to do something that might not be our character at all. It might not be something we would think of doing. But sometimes that voice does that. Now, let me tell you, that voice is always tells us to do something that's good. It's not the voice that says, go punch your sister in the stomach. That would not be the voice of God. The voice of God always tells us to do good things. So what I'd like you to do is kind of try to listen for that. I'll bet if you go home from church and you talk to your mom and dad about it, I bet there's times in their lives that they've heard that voice. Maybe they would share that with you. Okay? And if you can think of some of those times yourself, that's a good thing. All right? We share those too. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, that you call us. Help us to have our eyes open, our ears open, so we know when you want us to do something. Amen. Thank you.
The first scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance that I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Choir.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. You done good. Second scripture. I should have had this ready already. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will put down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
A pastor tells a story about an inner city church. They had men's breakfast every Wednesday morning. Someone in the church prepared a sausage and biscuit and had, that was their breakfast. One Wednesday morning when they had gathered, the pastor said, "Would you pray for Mary? Johnny was booked last night, a DUI. I'm going to see what I can do to get him out of there." Mary's had quite a time with that boy. One of the men said, "How much do you know about alcoholism, Pastor?" Another one said, "Where are you going to get the money for bail, Pastor?" "We'll go with you. We can handle it." So he said the three of them walked into the jail and were directed back to a corner cell where a young man was weeping in the corner. One man said, "Son, how long have you had a problem with alcohol?" And Johnny replied, "I wouldn't say that I have a problem." The man said, "Let me rephrase that. How long have you been lying about your problem?" "Son, I've learned a lot about booze the hard way. Had that monkey on my back since I was in the army, and I can show you the way out." The other man was a lawyer and said, "We're going to spring you, and you're going to come home with me. Our kids are out of the house. Your mama has enough already. I'd love to have somebody to watch football with." That's vocation in action. Some of the time, what we do to earn our living is also our vocation. Peter and Andrew, James and John were fishing and earning a living so that they could support their families. But what they learned in that occupation was useful for Jesus as he was going to be putting the net out and casting the net for those who would be drawn in. They knew how to fish, and so Jesus called them and gave them a vocation that used the skills that they had, but it gave them their purpose. It gave them their reason for being. Some of the time we fall into our vocation. I was listening to public radio yesterday, and there was a woman. You know, you can't really tell how old they are because a voice of a 60-year-old might sound the same as it did when it was 30. I don't know how old this woman was. But at one point in her life, she had been in marketing and advertising. And she did a good job at that. She rose the ladder to success. She made a lot of money. She was good at her job. And one day she said she just realized she didn't want to do that anymore. So she quit. Fortunately, she had earned enough that she could quit. And fortunately, she had a circle of friends around her who needed babysitters. And so she said she became her friends' babysitters, her friends' kids' babysitters. And while she was babysitting, she didn't just want to watch them. She wanted them to be learning something. So she started teaching them through some science experiments. And none of them were going to be dangerous, but she taught them about, they made bread at one point and saw how when you're adding that yeast in there, what happens to that. And that's science. She did this for long enough, and the kids grew up, and there was other kids started coming, and she loved it. But at some point, she needed to move away from that city. And so her friends, whose children she had taught, said, "Why don't you go on YouTube, get yourself a YouTube channel, and continue to do your experiments and put them there so our kids can continue to see them." And she did that. I don't remember her name, but she's one of those well-known YouTube people when it comes to science for children. She kind of fell into that which had become for her a vocation. It was her purpose. It gave her life meaning. Epiphany, the season of Epiphany, reminds us in many different ways that God calls each and every one of us. Epiphany reminds us that when we say yes to this call, there are going to be challenges that we will need to face. And if we are like those disciples, we will leave everything behind and just go to where it is that we are being called. It wasn't just that Jesus called them. They had known who Jesus was. They had watched from a distance some of the disciples, but there were also, remember when Jesus changed the water to wine, some disciples were with him there. So they knew who he was. And they went out on the boat that morning. And if they had not seen, but prior to this, had not seen anything amazing that Jesus could do, they saw it then. They were fishermen. They knew where to catch the fish, but they had a bad night and they were tired. Jesus gets in the boat because he wants to speak to the people. Those people needed to hear what Jesus was saying. But if those fishermen had been out there all night and didn't have anything to bring in, those people were also going to need food to eat. So Jesus took them out, told them how to fish, and they caught more than two boats could hold. It was a miracle. And that's what grabbed the disciples. In that fishing expedition, they saw the glory of God. They saw what it is that God could do. And that's what they were following. They were following this man who was beyond anything that they could do. So when they got to the shore, they left everything behind. Now, a part of that call means that they were to be an example to those who followed. And that was a huge learning time for them. They left behind what would have been successful employment because they were not only caring for themselves, they were caring for their families. They left that behind so that they could serve others as they had been called to do by Jesus. That had to have been powerful. That had to have been almost beyond comprehension. And that's why Peter said, "Go away from me, I am a sinner." Because he saw the glory and knew that he fell short. When God calls us to do something in particular, when we listen to that voice inside of us, as to what it is that we should do. That is our Christian vocation. That is our call. And it should never surprise us that God makes a call on our lives, because at our baptisms, we are defined as people who are part of the kingdom. Christian is who we are. And so that defines us in ways that we follow the way those disciples did. At some point, all young people are asked, sometimes it happens in high school, it happens in college, so what are you going to do with your life? I asked that question when I was 30. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And most of the time when we answer that, we think of it in terms as did the woman who was on public radio. She went and she got training and she was good at what she did and she earned a lot of money. But she wasn't happy. And so instead of asking, what am I supposed to do with my life, we might speak with the young ones and saying, what is it that God is preparing you for? Now, our job, the way that we earn money, may not be our vocation. It's a good thing that Jesus called those fishermen to be fishers of people. But remember, he also called a tax collector to be one of the fishermen as well. What this tells me is that whatever it is that God calls us to do, whoever it is that God calls us to be, if we're not prepared for it, God will prepare us. I think, when I think of Paul Webster and the years that he devoted to mission and to ministry and to agriculture in Africa, in Zambia, that has to be a call. And God equipped him for that call. And that didn't mean that he faced no challenges. His wife died while he was there. His grandson died while he was there. The agriculture center yet does not have electricity like we have. They don't have what they would look at us and see that what we think are necessities, they think are luxuries. Has to be, because he saw the glory of God. He saw what God could do. And God provided the training. Now, that training did happen in a college. It wasn't just kind of put in his brain without any education. When God calls us, God equips us. So how long has it been since you've heard that or listened to that voice that's inside there? And what does that voice say? And what does that voice ask of you? It may mean, it may be saying that you are to write letters to people who are incarcerated. Or it might mean that you have to serve the church on the finance committee. It might mean that you are to go to North Carolina as a volunteer and witness, or to Milwaukee, or to Pine Lake. That small, still voice speaks to each one of us individually. And that's where we hear our call. And that call changes. Or we may receive other kinds of calls beyond what we have been asked to do up to that point. I've seen calls develop among you in my years here. I've seen people who have been comfortable where they are, and they begin a new ministry because there's that strong sense that it's the right thing for them to do right now. And I'm not going to name names because I do believe that it's your call from God and it's yours to speak of. That's what happens during this season of Epiphany. We look at how it is and what it is that God calls us to do. I feel like my call is changing at this point in my life. I know I'm always going to be a pastor. I mean, I always have that. I'm going to be a minister. But I'm being called in a different way to express that, and I don't know what that is. I need to listen more closely. Because Christ does visit us again and again throughout our lives as we worship and as we witness. He places calls on our lives that no one else receives. And so it really is up to us to answer that. From fishing fleets and busy harbors, God gathers sailors. Through persecution and injustice, God calls prophets. When we least expect it, Christ gathers us in and calls us to follow him. Let us answer that call. In his name, amen. So we are invited to cast our nets into God's abundance and share what we have received with others. As we give our tithes and our offerings today, we put our trust in the one who has called us to follow him. We offer our gifts to Jesus, the fisher of people. Will the ushers come forward, please? Let us pray together. Increase the strength of these gifts and the strength of our ministries, O God. Expand the nets of our love that we may reach deeply and share abundantly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me share with you. Bruce Cook is here. Bruce had surgery on his arm this week and is doing well in recovery, and I'm sure that's because of his caregiver as much as it is God. And Anna Drescher had her tonsils and adenoids out this week, and she's just at that stage right now where the scab wants to break off, and she wants it to break off, you know. So she's at home healing. And I saw on Facebook this morning that Scott Allier's father, Richard, has passed, and they will be planning services for another time. But we want to remember those three. Are there others? Let us pray. God of amazing grace, listen to your children praying. We know that you meet us where we live and invite us to be a part of your purpose for all of your creation. And we give you thanks that you prepare us for each day and for each step we take as your disciples. We pray for the church, the worldwide church, that we would always be the compassion of Jesus. And we pray for the United Methodist Church as we move toward General Conference and decisions that we just don't know. We don't know if we will remain one church. But we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and with all of those who have been entrusted with making this serious decision. We ask that they would have the compassion of Jesus. And gracious God, for the people of this congregation, in all that we do, in the ways that we reach out to serve you and to show others who you are and your great love, give to us the compassion of Jesus. We pray for those who are oppressed, for those who suffer from the calamities of nature, for those who are advocates, for those who resist injustice, We pray for those who face abuse and don't know how to escape it. Give us the compassion of Jesus. And gracious God, we pray for those who deal daily with a physical illness, that they would not be paralyzed by fear, but that would know your healing power working within them. Hear our prayer for Bruce as he continues to heal, for Anna as she continues to heal. Hear our prayer for Richard Allier's family as they walk through this difficult time. You are the God of majesty and glory. You are the God of compassion. Through Jesus Christ, you call us into care and compassion and love for all of your creation. Renew in us your call. Release us from any fear that we have, that we would testify in word and deed of your steadfast love, which we know through Jesus Christ, and in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, would you now turn to hymn number 2162 in the black hymnal, Grace Alone. Now may we be filled with the love of God and sing praises with our whole hearts, giving thanks for the call of Christ in our lives and the community of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the purpose for which we were created. May the Holy One fill you with awe. May Christ the teacher amaze you with grace. May the Holy Spirit increase the strength of your soul. Amen.